This is the Notre Dame Football Postgame Show with Sean Steyers and Evan Sharpley.
The Notre Dame Football Postgame Show is brought to you by Coca-Cola, St. Joseph Health System, Sirius XM, Papa John's, South Bend Orthopedics, Bell Tire, West Bend Insurance, Bowling Vision Center, Burger King, Chili's, Papa Vino's, and ABC 57 News. Notre Dame Football is brought to you by Budweiser, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Lechleitner Door, Martin Supermarkets, Pet Refuge, Inrug Co. Studio and Gift Shop, Tim Growl State Farm Insurance, Bill's Collision, Edward Jones, Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, Key Bank, Legacy Heating and Air, Lozier, Mimo's Pizza, Flags International, Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill, Pella Windows and Doors, Wings Etc., the Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, OSMC, Salsa's Mexican Grill, Zolman's Best One Tire and Auto Care, Imperial Furniture, and Auto Value Auto Parts.
Jack Cohn from the five, hands off to Kyron Williams, breaks some tackles out to the left side, across the five, near side 10, 15, 20, what a run, he's got a chance, 50, 40, near sideline 30, 20, 10, he will do it, wow!
How about a 91-yard touchdown run for Kyron Williams? Did anybody believe it? Believe it. 199 yards, a career high with him, along with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. I am Sean Steyers. Evan, do we just hand out the player of the game right now and go home?
Yeah, we can do that if you want to. I mean, we know where it's leading here at the end of the show, that's for sure.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, 44-34 is the final score. That was obviously the highlight of the night and probably of a career. I was talking to some people in the press box, and it's like that is maybe the most phenomenal play I have ever seen in person, watching Kyron Williams start to his right, looking like he's tackled, and then that trademark massive stiff arm of his frees him up. And it's like, you know, if he just gets 8 yards out of it, which it's looking like he's going to do, you know, that's success. And then he takes it another 83 yards after that.
I mean, I got to be honest. I kind of like turned away after he was bottled up to start to make some notes. And
yeah,
next thing I know, I turned back around and he's 30 yards down the field. And it was a great block. And I think Michael Mayer made a great block. But
he did.
You know, the stiff arm clearly was, you know, was the signature of that play. And he kind of floated for a second. And then it looked like he was maybe going to get caught. But then he turned on the jets there and just ran away from everybody. It was an amazing play.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Kyron over the course of this show, of course. A lot of points tonight. Most points we have seen in a Notre Dame game this season. 78 total points. Notre Dame scores a season-high 44, but they also give up 34 points to North Carolina. I don't know about you, Evan. This is definitely the best offense we've seen so far. I think it's the best offense Notre Dame is going to see all season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the concern going in, right? Was this team, even though they're 4-3 at the time, you know, they'd been scoring over 30 points in every football game. And, you know, for all of us that have watched Notre Dame play this year, were they going to be able to score enough points to keep up with this high-powered offense? And they were. And it just kind of had that feels like, you know, what defense could get a stop? Could you force a field goal? Could you somehow get a turnover? And that's obviously what it came down to. I mean, and I think both offenses had good game plans going in and exposed the defenses in certain areas. But Sam Howell played a fantastic game, and really, you know, the combo of Jack Cohn and Tyler Buckner, and then obviously Kyron Williams there too. I mean, this was just an offensive showcase. But I think that, you know, a lot of people going into this, that was the concern, was Notre Dame's offense going to be able to go toe to toe or point for point and consistently score, and they were able to do that.
Notre Dame had the ball 10 times tonight. They scored 8. They only punted twice. They forced 3 North Carolina punts and the DJ Brown interception, the only turnover of the game, and that turned out to be pretty pivotal as Notre Dame ended up winning by 10 points in the end, and the complexion changes if you don't at least have that extra field goal at the end as well. We're just getting started with the Notre Dame football postgame show. If you'd like, you can email us postgame at WSBTradio.com. Your questions, comments, concerns. You know, we will talk about not just that North Carolina offense, but, you know, there were some things going on with the Notre Dame defense that were maybe a little bit concerning. But, again, a really good offense that Notre Dame saw tonight in the North Carolina Tar Heels as they walk away victorious with win number 7 this season. We'll take a timeout. When we get back, we're going to jump into some more analysis, first half analysis from tonight's game. The Notre Dame football postgame show is brought to you in part by KeyBank. Open a KeySmart checking account today. KeyBank opens doors. For more information, visit key.com. KeyBank, member FDIC. You're listening to the official Notre Dame football postgame show on Sunday 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Shaq Cohn takes the snap. Play action. Stands in. Lofts one down the near sideline to Kevin Austin. 3 yards deep in the end zone. Made the catch. Was he in? We're waiting for the call. Still no signal. They're celebrating. We'll call it a touchdown.
I was kind of waiting for a signal as well, and I don't think I ever saw it. But Kevin Austin and Jack Cohn hook up for a 21-yard touchdown pass for Notre Dame's last score of the first half. They went up 17-10 at that point. They end up winning 44-34, along with Evan Sharpley, former Notre Dame quarterback, Sean Steyers. The Notre Dame football postgame show continues. Well, Evan, we saw Notre Dame last week go to that tempo offense, and they went to it again tonight. They punted on their first drive, but then they had the ball three more times after that in the first half. Tyler Buckner connects with Avery Davis for a touchdown pass. They settle for a 31-yard field goal from Jonathan Doerr, and then that touchdown pass from Cohn to Austin. This offense looks a lot different suddenly with this move to the tempo now.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think, you know, you do that to try to establish an identity of who we are and maybe trying to light a little bit of a fire. And it's certainly, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago, you know, coming out of the bye week, the offense definitely needed that. But you can't mess with results. I mean, you look tonight, I mean, outside of an initial punt and then they're only 3 and out. And I thought that was an interesting stat, too, is you only saw 2 3-and-outs between the two teams the entire game. You know, you look at Notre Dame scoring drives. I mean, touchdown, field goal. I thought the touchdown right before half, you know, in that second quarter was big to Austin. I really liked, you know, outside of the tempo, too. I mean, I think what that does, Sean, is it helps the offensive line and getting the ball out quick. And you heard Brian Kelly mention that in his post game on the field was it's an extension of the run game. And that's exactly what it is. You know, if you're struggling, and Notre Dame did struggle early on in the year to control the line of scrimmage and establish a run, well, how do you work on developing that? And I think we've talked about it a couple of times on this show as well, is, you know, some of those jet sweeps or jet handoffs or jet passes, but then also quicks on the outside edge when you've got guys that are looking to load the box. And I think, you know, that drive, that touchdown drive going into half, you saw, I believe, what Tommy Rees and Brian Kelly want to do consistently. And that was, you know, play action, quick throws where a ball is getting out in rhythm, because when Cone's in rhythm, we've seen he can be a very effective passer. And then obviously those quicks as an extension of the run game, I think, will help alleviate some of those boxes. And then once that happens, you see what Notre Dame can do then, you know, once we'll talk more about the second half, but now it's a well-oiled machine because the defense isn't really sure what you're going to do. So I thought that was important, creating that tempo, but then also establishing the run game or the extension of the run game too helped open up things later in the game as well.
Cohn was 12 of 16 for 131 yards, that touchdown pass to Kevin Austin in the first half. And how about the run that he had, the 8-yard run? They had the the little drive there where that Tyler Buckner ended up finishing off. You know, talk about going away from tendencies. Cohn runs for 8 yards, then Buckner comes in and he throws a 7-yard touchdown pass.
I'm sure that's exactly how they scripted it too. They're like, we're going to go off of what everyone's watched film on. But yeah, I mean, a design quarterback run for Cone, you know, who would have bet on that? And then, you know, certainly I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to give Tyler Buchner, you know, a little bit more and more, and, you know, certainly teams know that right now the package that they have for him is going to be run intensive. I thought what we've seen a little bit in the last couple weeks is, and a few times tonight too with Buchner, he only ran the ball four times, but even, you know, even the plays that he did hand the ball off, I think we were seeing a little more misdirection. Yeah. We were seeing some more motions, some things of that nature, which again, you know, I think will, I think only lend to help this run game a little bit more. And I'm not going to get into, do I think, you know, they're over subbing at the quarterback position. I think we understand at this point that's probably expected. There's going to be certain situations where maybe it's a tweener situation where he could come in. Do they not? I mean, obviously, as a quarterback myself, I mean, it's tough to stay in rhythm. But I think, you know, if you have that up-tempo type of style of offense, that will probably help Cone out the most because he's kind of forced to stay active even if he's out for a few plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little about the defense because, especially in the first. Well, I mean, it kind of continued throughout the game. A lot more prevent basically, and we kind of talked coming in. How do you balance man to man that Marcus Freeman likes to play so much versus zone because you've got a mobile quarterback in Sam Howell? And Howell, to his credit, I mean, I didn't realize what a load he was going to be essentially to bring down. You can tell he's got a strong lower body. He was 8 of 9 throwing in the first half, and also had 10 carries for 35 yards in the first half. He ended up with over 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards. What did you think of Notre Dame's defensive effort against him in the first half?
I mean, I think collectively they struggled to tackle.
Yeah.
For most of the game, and I think that Notre Dame was fortunate. I mean, you look at the two final drives in the second quarter from North Carolina. You know, a 13 play drive, a 7 play drive. But you know what Notre Dame was able to do in both those situations, they were able to hold them to a field goal. Which in a game like this, where you have a very high powered offense and some talented players, you know, and Ty Chandler and Josh Downs. I mean, Josh Downs was very impressive.
He was.
They moved him around, I thought, very well. But you know, that's a tough thing. And so I think I want to give Notre Dame some credit and certainly their defense some credit, and really holding them to field goals were big in both of those situations. But I think if you look at a guy like Sam Howell and if, you know, Notre Dame's going to play a quarterback of his caliber, and you're right, Sean, I think this is probably going to be the most talented offense they'll see the rest of this season. So you're able to get away with a win, even though he does light up the stat book a little bit. But I think they held him in check. Again, those two field goals in the first half really ended up being big, I think, as we saw the game progress in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. A 38-yard field goal and a 26-yard field goal on their last two possessions. And then Carolina comes out and starts off the second half with a 53-yard touchdown run by Ty Chandler, but we will save that, and we will talk about that in our next segment when we jump into the first half a little bit. And, of course, we'll have the Brian Kelly postgame press conference coming up in a little bit as well. 44-34, the two teams combined for 1,087 net yards tonight. My goodness.
Yeah, if you like offense, I mean, it was a great game.
That's right. You know, this is the kind of game we don't usually see with Notre Dame. So this was different tonight for sure. He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers. It is the Notre Dame Football Postgame Show, and we will continue with more after this.
Getting upfield.
He split out wide to the left. First and 10 now on the 21. Pump fake that way. Cone stands in the pocket. Runs 20, 15, 10. He has a chance. 5. Touchdown, Notre Dame. Jack Cone wanted to pass, but the run worked out pretty well. 12:23 left in the third quarter. Notre Dame back on top. 23-20.
Running Jack Cohn, we talked about that 8-yard run that he had in the first half, and he scores from 21 yards out. Three carries, 28 yards, and a touchdown for the former lacrosse player, Jack Cohn. And, I mean, those two runs are about as fast, Evan, as I think that we have seen Jack Cohn run since he's been here at Notre Dame.
I wasn't sure if we were looking at Tony Rice out there or if it actually was Jack Cohn. I had to do a double take.
Right.
But, I mean, I think the big number in there, too, I mean, you mentioned, you know, three carries for 28 yards, but only one sack tonight, too.
Yeah.
So I think the offensive line did a good job of protecting him and, you know, seeing him eject out of the pocket there. You're probably not going to see it too many times. So probably put that'll probably be on his highlight tape, I would assume. But again, I think that got back to being able to control the line of scrimmage, right? Play action balls and getting them out on time. And then some of those quicks. But you can see, I mean, he's getting through his progressions a lot quicker. I think he's pretty comfortable right now with the package that they have for him. And really, I mean, you look at the second half, you know, Notre Dame's drives outside of, you know, late in the third quarter, they're only three and out the game. I mean, it really was a clinic as far as able being to score points. And Kyren Williams really being a one-man wrecking crew throughout the second half, too, I think was really the story of this ball game.
Yeah. Well, and they, you know, that drive, that was the first drive of the second half. It only lasted 58 seconds, three plays, 75 yards. It starts with a 14-yard Kyren Williams run, a screen pass to Lorenzo Styles for 40 yards, and then Cohn finishes off with a 21-yard run. And Braden Lindsey had to leave this game with an upper body injury in the first half, so Notre Dame now is down to five scholarship wide receivers, and one of them really doesn't play, the freshman. So really they were playing most of the game with four wide receivers tonight, and you know, it's kind of a fine edge that they're on. They're walking on the edge right now. But that running game really got going in the second half, because in the first half, Notre Dame only had 59 rushing yards in the first half, and they ended the game with 293 net rushing yards, of course, with 199 of it coming from Kyren Williams and 91 on that one carry, but still a far and away the best rushing night of the season for Notre Dame. And you know, I felt like coming in they were going to have a chance to have pretty good balance. And, you know, there were times in the first half, even though Notre Dame scored, the offense to me felt a little, you know, stagnant at times. But especially those first couple drives, Cohn, and then, the you know, they finish off the next drive, 11 plays, 81 yards with the Diggs touchdown. It really felt like they kind of took that tempo to another level those first couple drives of the second half.
Yeah, I thought in the first half, you know, they're trying to settle in on what the rhythm they wanted to have.
Yeah.
And even at the quarterback position too. But you're right. I mean, I believe they probably went in at halftime and looked at the call sheet and saw where they're able to do some damage, what coverages and fronts North Carolina was playing that they could take advantage of. And really set their sights on that. And, you know, in the 91-yard touchdown run, I mean, that really just was – it wasn't necessarily a great executed play. It was an unbelievable play by Kyren Williams. I mean, it really was bottled up in there. But outside of that, I mean, you look at their other two scoring drives that you already mentioned, and, of course, a couple field goals to finish it off, one being after an interception. You're right. They did have good balance. I think – if we would have looked back, you know, 5 weeks ago, as far as looking at what the MO that this offense had, we probably would be scratching our heads a little bit on where it was going.
Yeah.
But you look over the course of really coming out of the bye week, to be quite honest, Sean, and I'm sure some of that had to do with self-scout and here's where we're having success and what we need to do to make sure that we're playing our best guys and getting performance out of them. And we've seen that on the offensive side the last couple weeks and being able to put up some points. And, you know, it wasn't overall perfect in both of those wins, but you know, you're able to put up that many points in back-to-back weeks, you've got something to build off of. So I think for me, you know, the concern in the second half was, at least in my opinion, looking kind of at it, was a busted coverage on the second touchdown.
Exactly.
And then a poor route in tackling on the first touchdown, which, again, I mean, you're short an All-American at the safety position. position, those things may happen. You know, he's an unbelievable player, and to have him go down, you know, that may happen. So, you know, I looked at those two things, and that certainly kept North Carolina in the football game. But again, big timely turnover. You know, they're able to get a punt and then an interception that led to points too. And then it really became kind of a numbers game. And Notre Dame's offense, you know, they took what, 5 or 6 minutes off of the clock, and then got a field goal late, which really ended up running out the clock is what it did. But you're able to control the football for that long at the end of the game when you're up is big.
Yeah, and I mean, the plays you're talking about, and that's kind of where I was going to go, because again, I do think this North Carolina offense is the best offense that Notre Dame will see this season. Basically, whoever they play in the bowl would have the, you know, a chance probably, because you're talking about a higher level competition, you know, to at least be in the ballpark. But a 53-yard touchdown run, a 33-yard touchdown pass, and the 31-yard touchdown run, and the little pump and go, they faked the screen on that touchdown pass, you know, faked the screen and go. And so a couple of different times tonight you had wide open receivers really hurt Notre Dame. And so to me, you know, again, good offense or not, that was kind of the most disconcerting thing between the missed tackles and just wide open guys tonight. I think those two things really surprised me, especially for being at this point in the season where they are right now. What do you think?
Right. I mean, I think those were things that we saw the first couple games, and then they disappeared. So, yeah, if there were any red flags, and I know you've hit on it a couple of times, and it does need to be said. I mean, this was a good offense, but you can't make those types of mistakes and expect an offense to not capitalize on them. And they did. And that's why the game was a 10-point game versus, you know, had they limited some of those explosive plays and the way Notre Dame's offense really clicked in the second half, it may not have been a 10-point football game.
Right. He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers, the Notre Dame football post-game show on Sports Radio 960 AM, old habits die hard, 960 AM WSBT and Sunny 101.5 as well. We'll have the Brian Kelly post-game press conference coming up in a little bit, but next we're going to jump into some of the stats. And again, there was a lot of offense tonight, so there are a lot of stats to jump into here in a little bit, starting with the career night for Kyren Williams in Notre Dame's 44-34 win over North Carolina. We will take a timeout, and we will continue with more of the official Notre Dame football postgame show right after this. ...44-34, Notre Dame over North Carolina as the Fighting Irish improved to 7-1 on the season, along with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley, Sean Stiers, the Notre Dame football postgame show. Game stats time presented by Coca-Cola, and as promised, we have a lot of stats to jump into tonight. Oh, here's the total yards. North Carolina, 564. Notre Dame, 523. Rushing yards, 223 for the Tar Heels, 293 for Notre Dame. 341 passing yards for Sam Howell, 230 for Notre Dame. Jack Cohn had 213 of them, whereas Tyler Buckner had 17. You know, I thought we would see some scoring tonight. I thought we'd see this many, though, this many points and yards, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at what Vegas is setting, I probably was taking the under going into this game, to be quite honest with you. And I think we were sitting midway through the third, and they're already upwards of that. So, again, I think that both teams really had a great game plan going in, where they felt comfortable that they'd be able to move the football down the field in a number of different ways. And you saw balance. I mean, again, these are end game stats, and I know you mentioned this, and Notre Dame didn't have huge rushing numbers going into the first half, but you kind of felt that both teams in the first half were maybe feeling out how this defense was going to work. You saw some longer drives. As far as time of possession in the second half, there were quite a few explosive plays. So I think that both offenses probably went in at halftime. And again, they looked at what they were doing well and wanted to kind of build off of that. And that was really an extension then in the second half. And outside of Sam Howell's interception, which I think it was a miscommunication. I don't know exactly what the receiver, I think he took it up high with a middle of the field safety, which was probably the correct decision. And Sam Howell saw the field as open and it wasn't a good ball clearly, but yeah. Overall, you look at what both offenses did. I mean, they're averaging, around 13 or 14 yards per pass and 6 and 7 yards a run. I mean, that's a very efficient offense for four quarters. So, neither defense, I don't think really, they really didn't have a great feel on how to contain the game plans. And one being really, I mean, for UNC, it was Sam Howell and Josh Downs. I mean, right. That's really what it was. And Antoine Green, I mean, he had 83 yards as well and a touchdown. But I thought just with what North Carolina and having a dual threat guy, I mean, a true dual threat. I mean, he was a tough guy to bring down, but then also someone that he really can hurt you downfield. And there were a couple of throws I think he probably wanted back,
right?
That might have gone for another explosive play too. So both these defenses they'll need to watch this film and see what teams are doing, because they may likely get a steady dose of that moving forward.
Sam Howell, the North Carolina quarterback, this is the third time this season he has had over 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards in the same game. He was 24 of 31. Talk about accuracy. 341 yards, a touchdown, and an interception passing on the ground. 18 carries for 81 yards and a touchdown. And of course, the touchdown being a 31-yarder.
He's got to be so tired after this game, I'm telling you,
what?
Man.
And that's what Brian Kelly, he said on the field before he left the field with Paul Burmeister and Ryan Harris, that he's going to be sore tomorrow because, they put a lot of hits on him. Even though they didn't necessarily sack him, they put some hits on him. How much, though, Evan, of the success, we talked about a couple, busted coverages and stuff like that. How much of the success that Howell and Carolina had through the air do you think had to do with the fact that there was no Kyle Hamilton back there?
Oh, I think it was a big reason. I mean, you have your All-American as far as talent, but you also have a guy, a voice on the field, who's able to, help. and he's kind of the quarterback of the defense, or at least the defensive backfield, and making sure that those guys were lined up. And I specifically remember after what I thought was a blown coverage on the pump fake screen, Cam Hart and a couple of guys discussing exactly what happened. it looked like half the side of the field was playing zone and one guy thought he was playing man. And maybe it was a hybrid, I don't know, but clearly someone was running free, and that's not how a defense is designed to play. So, I still got to give a lot of credit to Howell. There is a lot of that on not having a guy like Kyle Hamilton, but I thought this really was a game, Sean, especially offensively. It really was a game about incredible individual performances.
Yeah.
On both sides of the football, and for UNC, Sam Howell being that guy and Kyren Williams, and really Jack Cohn too, I thought as well, offensively for Notre Dame, and that's why we have a fun back-to-back kind of shootout in 44-34.
Yeah, Cohn goes 16 of 24, 213 yards and a touchdown, and then again, 3 carries, 28 yards, a touchdown on the ground. And Tyler Buchner, 2 for 2, throwing 17 yards and a touchdown, and then rushing 4 carries for 16 yards. You're right. I mean, look, all this conversation about who should be the quarterback and all this different stuff before last week coming out of that Virginia Tech game. And, again, you go back to the change in approach, change in the mode of attack for Notre Dame. Jack Cohn looks like a different quarterback these last couple games. He looks completely different back there.
Yeah, I mean, and I I'd be lying if I didn't say I was surprised that we hadn't seen Drew Pine the past couple of games. But again, that change in kind of the mentality, I think, has helped Jack Cohn, and has helped, I think, infuse some of the energy into the offense that maybe we were seeing a little stagnation, just as far as like nothing was really happening. So I think that was probably key.
Avery Davis was Notre Dame's leading receiver, 5 catches, 51 yards. He caught the touchdown pass from Tyler Buchner. Michael Mayer, 4 catches for 51 yards. Lorenzo Styles, 3 for 71, having his career night tonight with his 74 yards. Kevin Austin, 3 catches, 36 yards, and a touchdown. Kyren Williams, 2 for 15. Braden Lindsay, 1 for 3. And, you know, look, Kevin Austin kind of gives you those frustrating moments every now and then. You'd obviously like to see more consistency from him, but you continue to see with some of the difficult catches that he makes, you know, just the talent that he does possess. And we were talking about him in the pregame show earlier today. To me, it's like, yeah, he's a senior, and he's in, and yes, he is very talented, but I think we have to remember maybe we place too much on him because, you know, just because of the talent. But this is a guy who's playing his first real season of college football. He had a handful of snaps as a freshman, didn't play as a sophomore because of suspension, didn't play last year because of injury, and he's still kind of trying to figure some things out. You know, we can see his upside, but still, you know, consistency is just the big thing for him right now.
Yeah, I mean, and there's some guys where that, you know, that's something that kind of follows them around their entire career. You hear about it a lot, you know, whether it's in practice or in the games too. But, you know, it is one of those things. The more you play, you are only going to, you know, your inconsistency is only going to increase. Mm-hmm. It is going to get better. So, and they're going to need him, you know, now with Braden Lindsay likely in concussion protocol. You know, they've got 5 scholarship guys that they're running out there. So you're going to see the same heads. They're going to need to be in good shape. And when your name is called and they've got something dialed up for you, you got to be ready.
He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Steyers, Notre Dame football postgame show. Irish fans, if you had 20/20 vision without glasses or contacts, what's the first thing you'd want to see clearly? LASIK at Bowling Vision Center can make amazing vision a reality for you. Take the first step at bowlinglasik.com or call today for your free consultation. Bowling Vision Center, amazing happens here. We'll take this time out, and then when we come back, you'll hear Brian Kelly's postgame press conference. That is coming up next on the official Notre Dame football postgame show on Sunny 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. To 34, Notre Dame over North Carolina tonight. The Notre Dame football postgame show continues after the second consecutive night game at Notre Dame Stadium as the Irish down the Tar Heels this evening. Brian Kelly addressed the media after the game. Let's hear from the Fighting Irish head coach right now.
I'll start with really proud of our football team coming back after an emotional rivalry game in USC. Our guys didn't come out flat. They came out with great energy and really just, you know, that was really the emphasis was, you know, come out with, you know, the same kind of standard of how we play. Offensively, did some really good things tonight, good balance on offense and defense, offensive running the football and throwing it. It's an improving football team. You know, we've got, I don't know, 5 Power 5 wins. Is that right, Katie? 6. We've got 6 Power 5 wins. It's an improving football team. You know, I just like the position that we're in. We're getting better each and every week. That's a tough team to defend. I wouldn't call it our best night defensively. We've got to coach a little bit better in terms of communication and some things that happened out there. But Sam Howell is just what a warrior he is. I got a chance to talk to him after the game and just a class act. And, you know, we hit him a lot and he laid it on the line. Here's a guy that's not, you know, talking about going to the NFL. He's talking about playing as hard as he can. And really, really enjoyed watching him play. He's pretty special. 341 yards throwing it. And, you know, another 117 rushing, just you know, pretty amazing performance. Back to our team, you know, the performance was as good as we've had offensively in terms of, you know, run pass. We opened up some things by getting the ball out on the perimeter. They were loading the box, and that really helped. Those are an extension of our run game, and it really helped open things up for us. And give us the balance. I think the 2-quarterback situation worked out well again for us. And we had a number of freshmen. Diggs steps up, Style steps up. Obviously, Alt, another true freshman's playing a lot for us. Colsey's in there, obviously playing, you know, quite a bit for us. So it's nice to see all those young players get a lot of work. So, again, I really like this team. I love their grit, but I also love the fact that they're getting better each week, and that's a really good thing. So with that, we'll open up the questions.
Pete Sampson's first. Go ahead.
Brian, the Kyren Williams 91-yard touchdown run, what's the play? What's supposed to happen? Have you seen something better?
Yeah, heck with the play. I mean, it's about players over plays. We're running duo, double team on the play side. They ran a swarm to the front side, and he bounced it back and just made something out of nothing. That's going to be a zero, you know, net zero gain. And he turns it into a 91-yard run. Just an incredible, you know, individual effort. And we got some really smart guys downfield. Avery makes a smart decision not to make a block, but get in the way of a defender. Mike Mayer, you know, rolls a guy down the field. So great blocking down the field too.
And just, we've asked you this a ton of times, but just the attitude that Kyren injects into the rest of the team. I mean, do you see that every week?
Pervasive. Yeah. No, it's pervasive. It's not only the offense, it's the defense. It's everybody that watches him play. Look, I'm not going to tell you that he stands in front of the room and, talks to the team about leadership techniques, but his leadership by the way he does things puts him in a role as a captain. And you saw that tonight, the way he handles things.
Defensively, I mean, North Carolina puts you in such conflict. So when you pick that apart, like, where do they just sort of get you schematically? And what's something tonight that you come away with, like, we just have to be better at that?
You know, I felt like if you have six drives, Pete, of 75 yards, I don't know that they got us as much as we went to something else when they wanted to take it away. We had more answers than they had tonight in that respect. We had not had those answers before. You know, spreading the formations, getting the ball out on the perimeter, you know, throwing the ball in the seams and then allowing that to set up runs were some of the answers that Tommy was finding while they were trying to take something away.
Angelo DiCarlo.
Oh, I took it as what they were doing. Well, you know, we took away all the RPOs, right? So there were no RPOs. The one RPO they threw, you know, we picked it off. But, you know, you're playing three down, and you better be absolutely correct on every gap fit, or they ran a power and we got pinned down and we couldn't get over the top. They had a big play run. We had a couple of miscommunications on some man coverage situations that got to get cleaned up. I think personally, we have to coach it better and put our players in a better position. We're going to lean on ourselves as coaches to help our kids get in better position.
Angelo DiCarlo is next.
Coach, more impressed by Kyren's touchdown run or Jack's?
No question, Jack Cones. He is right now thinking that he touched 19 on the GPS. I'm calling liar on that, but he's feeling pretty good about himself right now.
Was there something you guys did see with an element of surprise in terms of being able to run it with Jack? Because not many would expect that to happen.
Yeah. So we're getting a lot of two deep zone and we were picking our spot. That they are a bracket coverage team in certain situations. And it was a tendency that we felt like we would get Jack the opportunity to pick up some first downs. We weren't looking for touchdowns or big plays. We were looking to move the chains.
Tim Priester is next.
Right here. Brian, in terms of the playbook, is this the most expansive that it has been? I mean, it looks as if Tommy Rees has a whole bunch that he can call from.
He does. He does have a lot of answers going for him right now. I mean, you know, we got over the top on a flat foot safety. We didn't make the catch. I can give you a lot of different examples of whether it's quarter coverage, man coverage, one-on-one situations, you load the box, the ball's going out on the perimeter. We have a lot of answers for us right now that are being executed, but we're doing it with two quarterbacks too, because we need Buckner made some really good plays. The third down play where he holds the ball and flips it over the top to get it to Mayer, he's making some really good plays too. So the combination of the two quarterbacks really makes that an expansive playbook.
The fifth straight opponent with 2 weeks to prepare. You said it last week.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, I would imagine this. What did they do? What was it this week that was a different wrinkle from what you had seen?
So, yeah, I mean, their offensive run schemes were a heavy counter team. I mean, anybody who watches North Carolina play, you know, that's their number one play. They didn't win counter at all. I mean, it was a difficult defend for us. And, you know, and we struggled. And we have to be better. We've got to be able to handle offenses that show some things that are different and make the adjustments.
You had some busts in the secondary, but
yes,
all things
did.
Considered, with Kyle Hamilton out, how do you think the group held up?
They did pretty well. I mean, we got good play out of DJ played really well. Houston and Pryor, all three of those guys working together, I thought played well. I thought our communication was pretty good. It's got to get better. We get into some bunch alignments and some stack alignments. One guy's making a call. It's getting trumped. It's just, we got to coach it better. Our kids should not be put in that position. We got to do a better job.
If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. Get it down to Patrick Engel in the front.
Brian, we talk about the tempo is just helping execution and making that easier, it seems. But with Jack in particular, I guess from beginning of the month to now, what does he look more comfortable or most improved, I guess, in?
Well, he's never played in this type of offense, right? So this is new for him. So he's got a shiny new toy that he really likes. We've worked hard with his footwork. His footwork has been so much better. The poor throw that he makes, he gets flat foot. He puts the ball on the ground to Mike where he's wide open. He knows exactly what he needs to do to be accurate and be on time. And a lot of it stems from the waist below. He is such a smart kid. He is such a good quarterback from that position. He did not make one mistake in identifying the fronts and checks and things of that nature. There were blitz in the back. We had to cross read the back in protections, and he was setting all that. He had a lot on his plate, but what he's seeing is that he can really ascend in the offense right now.
It seems like what you described kind of looks a lot different than maybe what we saw in the opener with downfield and kind of leaning into that.
Oh, we were dumb. We were dumb. I mean, we were trying to figure out what he could do, and you know, we were using a lot of the skills that he had. But we have found obviously a niche where he feels really comfortable.
Doug Farmer is next.
To follow up on that, Brian,
thanks, Doug.
I was more going to say the success of that opening night, was that almost misleading for you as a coaching staff to think this worked out well? I think it was 366 yards and four touchdowns that night.
Yeah, I mean, the epiphany for us was the Virginia Tech game where we put him back in after he had not had a very good start to the game. And we get him in the 2 minute again. And now he looks great. And now we're like, okay, we got this figured out now. Let's shorten his drop. Let's get these feet moving quickly. Let's get him through his progressions. The ball comes out faster, quicker decisions. I mean, look, I don't know that he threw, we were talking about, he never throws, we call it a bubble throw, the perimeter bubble. He didn't throw those before, but he's accurate. And the ball comes out quickly. And you can see what happens when you get into those skill guys' hands. They turn those into big plays.
And a quick housekeeping note, one of those skill guys, Braden Lindsey, out upper body.
Yeah, he went into the concussion protocol. But look, I'm not a medical doctor, but we talked about the Gettysburg Address, and he was able to recite it back to me. So
did he know it before the game?
No.
Tyler Horka is next.
I'm not sure he knows what Gettysburg is.
In the front.
Brian, we saw Chris Tyree
and
out there.
I'm not trying to make light of it. He's feeling really good. He's feeling really good after practice. He'll obviously, our medical people, I don't want to make, you know, light of a potentially serious situation, but he feels good. He'll go obviously be evaluated, but we're feeling like we had a good conversation.
We saw Chris Tyree out there on kick return team. How close was he to maybe getting some snaps offensively?
He's getting really close. You know, we thought that that was the entry level for him. I think this week we're really going to lean on him hard in practice. We wanted to get him back to a volume in practice that his conditioning level was where it is and where it needed to be. And I think we take the next step now going into Navy.
You mentioned Lorenzo Styles earlier. He's probably one drop pass away from going well over 100 yards. Yeah. Well, obviously, he made an impact still tonight. What is it about him in this last 3-4 weeks that has gotten him on the field? And, you know, how much of an impact player can he be the rest of this regular season and going forward?
Yeah, he's going to continue to impact. He's got a great demeanor. His work ethic is outstanding during the week. His volume is amazing. We can throw a lot of volume on him. And he's explosive. You can see him, right? When he touches the ball, he's explosive. So, you know, he went in there when Braden went down and didn't miss a beat, was able to take all the reps out there. And yeah, he's going to continue to impact us.
We'll wrap it up with Tim O'Malley.
Just kind of, it's much different week coming up, obviously, with Navy up in North Carolina. But what do you take from this in the efforts to make open field tackles? Sam Howell's much different than what you're going to see, but obviously that's the most important thing when you're facing this next opponent.
Yeah. Look, we knew what the schedule was. Back-to-back weeks of USC and UNC. They're two really good offenses to go against. And you can't take away everything from Howell. If they were going to beat us with quarterback draw, it would be the first time in my career that I would stand up on this podium and say, they beat us running quarterback draw. And I got to tell you, we can't take everything away. We had the one letdown where, you know, the mistake in coverage, but by and large, we kept the ball in front of us and where we wanted to. We let up a big play run on a power play that we got to coach it better. But you can't take everything away from a guy like that. All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
That's Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly, and his post-game press conference is presented by Gatorade. The Notre Dame football postgame show after Notre Dame's 44-34 win over North Carolina. Former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley will be with me after we take this timeout. Something I want to ask him about Jack Cohn, listening to some of Brian Kelly's comments there about that change in approach that they made, especially compared to the approach in the opener against Florida State. And what we've seen the last two-plus games going back to the end of the Virginia Tech game last week against USC and tonight versus North Carolina. So we'll do that when we return. Again, the Notre Dame Brian Kelly press conference presented by Gatorade. You're listening to the official Notre Dame football postgame show. The Notre Dame football postgame show continues on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT and Sunny 101. 0.5, along with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers. Jack Cohn, the Notre Dame quarterback, 16 of 24 tonight, 213 yards and a touchdown. And we just heard from Brian Kelly in his postgame press conference basically saying we were dumb with the approach that they went with. You know, to start off the season, it was more deep shots downfield, and maybe it sort of lulled them into thinking Jack Cohn was something other than maybe what his true self is. I don't know exactly how you'd put it, but Brian Kelly, you know, with this switch that they've made, how difficult would you sort of, as a former quarterback, Evan, how difficult would you say a switch like that is to make for a guy?
I mean, it's probably case by case is unique. But I think, you know, that was a great question that they asked Kelly, and I thought it was a honest answer back too.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe did you have a false sense of expectation? I think part of that probably, you know, has to do with Jack Cohn, but I think a lot of it probably has to do with Florida State too. and then, you know, trying to have the same success that they did in game one against teams that were not, you know, it was just a different look and a different feel. And then you had an offensive line that was struggling with controlling the line of scrimmage and rushing the football and certainly protecting the quarterback. And I mean, we were at historic levels as far as the number of sacks that this offensive line had given up. And you look over the course of the last three games, I think two sacks against Virginia Tech, one against USC, one against UNC now. But the big shift, as we saw, was coming out of that bye week and then pushing tempo. And it's something new for Jack Cohn. But I think if you haven't done that, and maybe you're only used to, I'm not going to say lethargic, but right, he came from a much different styled offense. Once you get into that, it's honestly quite fun to play up tempo. And I think what we've seen is this coaching staff knew they needed to make adjustments because what they were doing consistently was not working. And what they needed to do was somehow diversify their run game. And they looked at different ways to do that. But at the same time, and I know Brian Kelly mentioned, improved footwork from Jack Cohn, but I think something else that goes into that too has to just do with overall play design and really a sense of urgency to get the football out, right? So we saw that tonight, and that was it was twofold. Even some of the mid-range game, and then of course the throws down the field were play action, but it was play action fake, get the ball out. It was a much different feel, and I think we saw some of the design plays early on in the year. And then of course the quicks that we've talked about and that Brian Kelly mentioned too, that were just an extension of that run game. And again, in my mind, trying to diversify what teams are preparing for, where it's not just going to be a straight handoff or just a drop back pass. You're able to do a lot more in both facets of the game if they work in tandem. And really prior to the bye week, outside of game one, and really that was, I think, a little bit of an anomaly, to be quite honest with you, that was kind of the status quo. So it's great to see that adjustments have been made. I think that Reese and Kelly have a pretty good feel on what this offense is capable of doing now. And they're just going to now, it's going to be sticking to where their strengths are. Unfortunately, it's one of those things, right, where there were some learning curves at a number of positions, quarterback being one of an offensive line, but it seems like they're starting to click now.
Defensively, Isaiah Foskey leads the way, the defensive end, with seven tackles tonight, five of them solo. He had a half a sack and a half a tackle for loss as well. Houston Griffith with six tackles, Clarence Lewis, J.D. Bertrand, Tariq Bracey, and Drew White all ended up with six tackles as well. Jason Adamalola with a tackle for loss and a half, and he got the other half a sack along with Isaiah Foskey. Jordan Botello got his first career sack. We saw more of Botello, and that was interesting because Brian Kelly was asked about him earlier this week, and he said, you know, maybe that's a case of when we go to the coordinators meeting, might have to mention, you know, that Botello needs to play a little more. And we saw more of Botello tonight. Drew White had a sack as well. The interesting comment, though, that I think Brian Kelly made, especially as it pertains to Notre Dame's defense, is this is the fifth straight opponent Notre Dame has played who's coming out of a bye week, and he's talked the last couple weeks about the new wrinkles that they've been seeing from these teams coming out of the bye. And like he said, North Carolina, a big counter run team, and they saw no counters tonight, and I think he used the term exhausting, Evan, and I imagine it has to be, because that's got to be, you know, and that's something that just watching the game, unless you watch a lot of, you know, these teams and know exactly what they're doing, which obviously coaches get paid to do, but as fans we don't. So when a team is having success, that's something that we don't necessarily see and recognize right away, and that's gotta be exhausting when you're seeing all these new wrinkles week after week, because these teams have the extra week to prepare coming, you know, before your game.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't anything new. I know we laugh about it every year, but it seems like, you know, most teams are coming off a bye when they play Notre Dame. And I think there was a slogan for a while. It was like, you know, only at Notre Dame. Well, I mean, this is, I mean, it's kind of, that's the expectation that there's probably going to be some wrinkle. And for teams, especially teams that are coming into South Bend and some programs, right, that maybe have never visited there, you know, it's a Super Bowl to them. You know, they have the opportunity to walk into Notre Dame Stadium and do something special. You know, they are going to change some things up. But I will say, I mean, having experienced that and gone through game planning on a weekly basis, defensively, it's probably harder on the defense, to be quite honest. I don't think that offensively, you know, we saw a lot of teams do a bunch of exotic things, at least when I played on a week in and week out basis. Now, there were some things that they would maybe throw in, a special blitz that we wouldn't see. But for most of the time, it was what we saw on paper as far as percentages and coverages and blitzes and fronts. We usually got that. It was normally the offenses that, you know, who were looking to score points or maybe, you know, have some type of trick play or go off script. We saw that because normally, right, it's a little bit more difficult to adjust defensively when you've repped and schemed certain looks and calls for an entire week. You know, with your offense, you can kind of run your offense really against whatever defense once you kind of have an idea on what they're playing, and you likely have a pretty good idea that, you know, within the first quarter or so. So I always giggle when I hear that because it just seems, and that's just kind of how it is now. I mean, every year a team's coming off a bye playing Notre Dame, and every single one of those games, there's usually going to be something that's on there that they don't see.
He's Evan Sharpley, former Notre Dame quarterback. I'm Sean Stiers, the Notre Dame football postgame show after Notre Dame's 44-34 win over North Carolina, over 1,000 yards of total offense for the two teams tonight. And you know, Irish fans, we don't just drive trucks because they're dependable workhorses that let us tackle icy roads all winter and tow a boat in the summer. We also drive trucks because they're fun. The Cooper Discover Rugged Trek is a tire made with fun in mind. Like any Cooper tire, the Rugged Trek is designed to do everything you need it to do. To find out more, visit CooperTire.com. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, the opponent's scoreboard, and we're going to be naming our player of the game after that, as well as we wind down tonight on the Notre Dame football postgame show. We're back with more on Sunny 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Matt Embry in the WSBT studios. We continue with the official Notre Dame football postgame show following Notre Dame's 44-34 victory over the North Carolina Tar Heels at Notre Dame Stadium. It's time to look at how the Notre Dame opponents for the 2021 season fared today and this weekend on the Under Armour opponent scoreboard. Of course, Under Armour, the official uniform and clothing provider of Notre Dame football and Notre Dame athletics. And we start with Florida State. Had their chance to upset Clemson in Death Valley today. However, though, Clemson able to escape with a 30-20 victory in that contest. No action today for Toledo. They actually will be playing on Tuesday against Eastern Michigan. Purdue gets the victory over Nebraska today, 28-23. Wisconsin hammers number 9 Iowa, 27-7 today. Cincinnati stays undefeated, but it was close in the first half with the Tulane Green Wave, 14-12 at the half. However, though, Cincinnati outscores them 17-0 in the second half and wins that game, 31-12 to stay undefeated. Virginia Tech, in a matchup of two Notre Dame opponents, holds off Georgia Tech, 26-17. USC had to fight against winless Arizona, but they escape with a 41-34 victory tonight. Navy has to come from behind, but they get the victory over Tulsa today, 20-17. And the last two Notre Dame opponents are currently still in progress. Virginia, after just 6 minutes of their game in Provo against BYU, they were trailing 21-0. However, they've come all the way back, and at the half, they lead BYU 42-38. That is the score, folks. At the half, 42-38, Virginia leading BYU. And they are just underway in the second half, where it's been the exact opposite between Stanford and Washington. Only field goals. 9-3, Washington leads Stanford early in the third quarter. And that wraps up this week's edition of the Under Armour Opponent Scoreboard as we send it back to Notre Dame Stadium and Sean Styers.
All right, only field goals. That is the subtitle, I think, of last week's Penn State-Illinois game. They might have actually scored a little bit more than field goals, but not much more, as it turned out. Interesting night tonight. Offensive night at Notre Dame Stadium as Notre Dame beats North Carolina 44-34. And thanks to Matt Embry, the opponent scoreboard, and Jimmy Rosari back in the studio as well, producing everything on both of our stations, Sunny 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 AM. The Notre Dame football postgame show is brought to you by Budweiser, distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Football fans, this Bud's for you. Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Lechleitner Door, Martin Supermarkets, Pet Refuge in Rudco Studio and Gift Shop, Tim Grau State Farm Insurance, Bill's Collision, Edward Jones Making Sense of Investing. Contact Jerry Madsen at Osceola or Ryan Hale in South Bend. Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, 213 East McKinley in Mishawaka. KeyBank, open a KeySmart checking account today. KeyBank member FDIC. Legacy Heating and Air, Lozier. Launch your career at Lozier. Apply online at Lozier.com. Mimo's Pizza on Edison and Mishawaka. Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill at the corner of McKinley and Division in Mishawaka. Pello Windows and Doors. They offer solutions to your window and door needs. South Bend Orthopedics, Wings, etc. South Bend, Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, OSMC, Salsa's Mexican Grill, Imperial Furniture in Dowagiac, Flags International on McKinley Avenue in Osceola, Zolman's Best One Tire and Auto Care, and Auto Value Parts, your local Auto Value Parts store, where service is the difference. We got it. Evan Sharpley and I will wrap things up by naming our player of the game after Notre Dame's 44-34 win over North Carolina right after this on the Notre Dame Football Postgame Show. Notre Dame over North Carolina tonight as the Fighting Irish improve to 7-1 on the season. Navy coming up next week, and out of prime time, it'll be a 3:30 afternoon game next week. So we'll be on, of course, a little bit earlier with the Notre Dame football post-game show. But again, this game today saw over 1,000 yards of total offense. North Carolina, 564 total yards. Notre Dame, 523 total yards. The Irish ran for a season-high 293. But Evan, where we are right now is where we name the player of the game. So tell us who it is and why it's Kyren Williams.
Wait, it's not Tyler Buchner? It was two for two, 336 passer rating.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, Kyren Williams. I mean, you know, what a second half. He does it in other areas too, obviously, in protection and catching passes. But, you know, the 91-yard touchdown run really was just a great effort, reversing field. The classic stiff arm, and then just running away from everybody. And, you know, I, to be quite honest, you know, prior to that, he had gotten I thought he got injured. You know, he was in and out of the with the trainer going in and out of the tent. I wasn't sure if he was going to come back. I saw him kind of jog back over. And then, of course, you know, putting together the rest of that second half the way he did, you know, he's clearly the player of the game. And it was a great performance, a great individual performance. And this Notre Dame offense really needed him, and he came through in a big way.
I think the last time I was thinking about this, and I was actually talking about this play earlier tonight, the last time I think my jaw dropped and I was just astounded by a play the way I was tonight by that run by Kyren Williams was the Tommy Zbikowski play up at Michigan State in the rain when he ripped the ball away from a Michigan State receiver. And do you remember that? Any?
Yeah, I was there. I was cold.
That's right. He ran it back for a touchdown after just ripping it away
from a Michigan State receiver. That's you know, this play, that play tonight, that play by Zbikowski, you know, like the Samardzija, you know, Quinda Samardzija UCLA play, you know, those are the kind of plays I think that really stand out that you remember for a
long time. They're the ones that aren't really, you know, they're not designed. It's not a normal football play you're watching. Yeah. You're like, yeah, this is something different. This is something's pretty special to watch.
That's absolutely right. So Kyren Williams is our player of the game tonight as he runs for a career high 199 yards on 22 carries. And again, that 91-yard touchdown run. I think everybody who saw it tonight is going to remember that for a while. Well, Evan, glad to have you back this week. Enjoyed it as always. And, of course, look forward to talking to you again next week after Notre Dame takes on Navy.
Absolutely. Let's get after it. I'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds good. For Evan Sharpley and for our studio engineers, Jim Irizarry and Matt Embry, I'm Sean Steiners. Again, the final tonight, 44-34, Notre Dame over North Carolina. The Notre Dame football postgame show comes to a conclusion, and we will talk to you after the Navy game coming up next week.
The Notre Dame football postgame show with Sean Steiners and Evan Sharpley.
The Notre Dame football postgame show has been brought to you by Coca-Cola, St. Joseph Health System, Sirius XM, Papa John's, South Bend Orthopedics, Bell Tire, West Bend Insurance, Bowling Vision Center, Burger King, Chili's, Papa Vino's, and ABC 57 News. Notre Dame football has also been brought to you by Budweiser, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Lechleitner Door, Martin Supermarkets, Pet Refuge, Inrug Co. Studio and Gift Shop, Tim Growl State Farm Insurance, Bill's Collision, Edward Jones, Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, Key Bank, Legacy Heating and Air, Lozier, Mimo's Pizza, Flags International, Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill, Pella Windows and Doors, Wings Etc., the Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, OSMC, Salsa's Mexican Grill, Zolman's Best One Tire and Auto Care, Imperial Furniture, and Auto Value Auto Parts.